You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Welcome to Webcology. Webcology is the show that takes you into the deepest and darkest ends of the ecosystem on the internet. Our guides will take you on a journey into web marketing and bring you the experts and the information so that you can further explore the web marketing world. Now, here are the hosts of Webcology, Jim Hedger and Dave Davies.
Hey everyone, welcome to Webcology on WMR.FM. It's the 8th of April. 2021. This is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media and Dave Davies from Beatstock Internet Marketing. And I got to repeat myself because I just can't believe it. It's the 8th of April, 2021. Spring's here. It's gorgeous outside, at least on the eastern side of the continent. It's been a busy week in the search world. Dave Davies, how you doing, man?
I am doing fantastic. How about you?
I'm doing good. Almost finally relaxing. I'm getting my first Pfizer shot, getting Pfizerized on Saturday, which is a good feeling, or a bit of a relief. Business is good. Life is mellow. Toronto and Ontario is on lockdown again, so life has to be mellow. We don't really got much choice. It's been really interesting week.
It's funny. We was chatting with some, and my American friends won't know the region or how this works out, but I'm sure they have an equivalent down there where I don't think I've ever known a region quite so much as Peel region that I didn't live anywhere close to as I do now, right? Because it keeps making the news for exactly what we're talking about.
Peel region is a large suburb, it's a massive city on the west side of Toronto, and it's full of factories.
Right.
It's the manufacturing hub of Southern Ontario, thus one of the major manufacturing hubs of North America, and certainly of Canada and all of North America. And in Ontario, those businesses are all essential services. So workers haven't been given sick days in Ontario. And in fact, the government that we have got into office 2 years ago and took away sick days from workers, not knowing they might need it because there's a pandemic coming up. Now the government refuses to give workers sick days, forces them to go to work. They can't afford to miss their shifts, and they're working cheek to jowl with each other. The government is supposed to be complying with COVID precautions, but they're not. And as you said, nobody wants to be near Peel Region. Because Peel Region is right now is North America's, not Canada's, North America's massive outbreak zone.
Yeah.
For the last year, Canadians have looked south in horror at what's happening in the States, thinking, oh my goodness, if only they had a responsible government that could, you know, guide them through. Well, now it feels very different because America is on top of it, are vaccinating people as fast as they can find them. It's like they're pulling people off the street, jabbing a needle in their arms and putting them out again, which is wonderful. And in Canada, we're lagging behind, going into a terrifying third and in some places fourth wave with the new variants.
Yeah. And I saved the formula in my handy code spreadsheet, which I just keep handy for like stuff I have to look up over and over again, is in Data Studio, how do you connect Google Analytics with Search Console? Because Search Console does the pages with https://, whereas unless you tell it to, in Google Analytics, it doesn't. Well, you use regex and you go, okay, out of Search Console, strip all that out, right? Because basically what regex lets you do is create rule sets and you can go, okay, I want to see X number of characters. Then I want to see HTTP has to be there. Then we don't know if there's an S, so we'll put a dot. Then we have to put a series of slash. It basically creates structures. We can go, okay. And as soon as you see it end with this slash, then we move on to the next thing, right? Like, so basically you can pull out a domain or something like that. It gets like, I'm just listing a very simplistic example. You can get into some really elaborate filters into Google Analytics that I would pull on, you know, somebody like Andy Cushing or something to explain, who I know is highly proficient in regex. But this is a sort of power. So now over in Search Console, we can go, okay, I want to see these rules obeyed, but not these ones. So what we'll be able to do is create structures where I go, okay, it has this keyword. I don't care if there's something in there, and then it has another keyword at the end. So I have Nike. I don't have something. Like I have either nothing or something, and then I have the word shoes. So Nike, you know, model shoes or something like that, and be able to filter it and pull just all of those keywords out. It's going to be interesting enough in Search Console to be able to do that, but I'm going to be really interested in what capabilities that's going to add to some of the connectors over into Data Studio, and because you're doing it sort of post, you could run them. But I think it's going to be really, really interesting. And what I'm waiting for is a really just handy article, and I'm literally waiting for it. And somebody will write it who's better at regex than I am. A really handy article on, here's the cheat sheet of all the ones that you need for Search Console. Like, here's
is that a prediction or is that a request?
For the listening,
for the article,
I will not be doing it. I do suspect that it's just like, you know, the folks who write over at SEJ and SEL, right? Like, I know one of them is like, oh yeah, I'll do that, and then they'll build up a few of them and go, oh, I owe Danny another article. So that'll be the article because they'll have already done the work. That's exactly how like 90% of us like come up with the article ideas. I just did a bunch of work to do this. Seems like other people would care. So then you put out the article on that subject, and usually they do. I'm guessing, and now that we've talked about it on the show, if one of the listening audience happens to be a writer, if you can develop those and share them in a post, we'll talk about it on the show, and I'll probably steal it and maybe even share it, but I'll probably steal all the codes, and Andy had them to my handy code spreadsheet that I was talking about.
Okay. We talked about stuff. We just talked about stuff being given to SEOs. Here's one being taken away. Kind of an old timey thing. Yahoo Answers, the good old link factory known as Yahoo Answers, is shutting down. Now there used to be a time. Okay, but for people who don't know what Yahoo was, that used to be a search directory that was kind of like the second most popular search engine in the world, but they blew it. They could have bought Google at one time too, but they blew it.
Yeah, okay, for like a few million. Like,
okay, but they had a number of amazing properties. They still do have a number of amazing properties, and they're still probably one of the largest content networks in the world. And one of those big blocks of content was Yahoo Answers, which was kind of like old-timey Quora, but less depressing. Yahoo Answers was one of the first places where you would get a bunch of user-generated content. And naturally, for SEOs, it was a place you could phrase a juicy little link coming from a Yahoo domain.
Yeah.
Oh, it's closing down. That's the thing. They're taking it, going away.
Yeah, and yes, right? Like, if I have to ask a question, right? Like, if I was just asking questions, you know where you'd go, right? Like, okay, for most of the questions, I would head over to Stack Exchange, but that's because most of my questions lean, you know, towards the like technical side of things. So you would go to either your niche or Quora, right? Or just Google, ask the question and go to Wikipedia and get it answered, right? Because 9 times out of 10 for a question, Wikipedia is going to be the answer anyway. So I'm not surprised. I'm always kind of sad for, it's like when GeoCities closed. It's like, yes, that's right. But that's kind of sad.
For what it's worth, it was much harder to phrase a link at GeoCities than it was at Yahoo Answers, because GeoCities, you had to work for it. Yahoo Answers, you had to write some drivel and throw a link in there somewhere.
Yeah.
So anyway, Yahoo Answers, one of the great repositories of really clever, and people would dedicate like great deals of time to giving the very best answer possible, only to have a whole bunch of trolls come in underneath them and just cut it all to pieces. Yahoo Answers is shutting down, I believe, on the 14th of this month. And for people who are still completely reliant on link, or still somewhat reliant on link building, that's it's gone.
And good riddance, really.
And probably like, I mean, good riddance.
Yeah.
Okay, so have you ever wondered what Wix stands for?
I've never even thought to ask.
Neither had I, and until recently, when they went on this really bizarre marketing campaign, which was more of a screw WordPress than a push Wix campaign. So I'm figuring Wix stands for what is that, but spelled with an X. X-H-E-T. What is that? Okay, so Wix thought it would be a good idea to send really high-end Bose noise-canceling headphones to a bunch of social media influencers and webmasters and bloggers and people who work in WordPress. People who are like WordPress evangelists. So it sends about 1,000 of these things out, okay? 1,000 of these packages out with like high-end headphones. And a QR code that it asked the webmasters to scan, which takes it to a 1.5 minute long rant about how crappy WordPress is. And that was the promotion. So I don't know if I described that poorly, but it's just one of those really bizarre, what the heck just happened? Why did they do that sort of things? Trying to promote a product that's actually, Wix gets a lot of bad press in the SEO world, and the people at Wix heard that bad press, and they still have what I think most SEOs would consider a substandard product, but they're working really hard to improve it. And they are putting the time and they are putting the energy in, and they've done really good marketing until now. And I just don't get it.
No. And I mean, you know, to go along that sort of tangent, like you're saying, you know, sent some expensive headphones out, sent a QR code, got this backlash. To me, I'm like, okay, that costs a lot of money. Why wouldn't you just go, hey, we're going to spend that money. We're going to contact 20 of the best WordPress developers and go, we're going to periodically contact you. We're going to pay you for your time, and you're going to tell us what sucks, right? And you're going to tell us as we're getting better, and then you're going to give us feedback, and then we're going to come back and let you know when we fix those things, right? Like combination WordPress developers and SEOs. Why not just spend that money actually making your product something that people go, you know, it's better than WordPress, right? Like, and there are some that I've looked at, you know, I'm working with a client in Webflow. It's great. It's naturally fast. It'll never be quite as fast as some of the things you can make other systems do, but it starts out faster than WordPress because you can't bloat the bloody thing with plugins, right? But you're limited in what you can do easily, right? So again, you have to call your developer. So, right. I mean, you know, there's systems like that, and it'll never be perfect, but there are systems that do compete and it gets well reviewed. So why couldn't they just, you know, from a marketing standpoint, have pulled something like that off? I think they were trying to race to the finish line before their product was ready to get there, is I suspect. And you shouldn't pick on, people have a soft spot for WordPress. Regardless, I've worked in other systems. I've liked other systems. There are systems I like better than WordPress, but I'll always have a soft spot in my heart again on WordPress, and I'll never trash them unless they do something stupid.
At one time, WordPress was arguably running 65% plus of the websites that were out there. Mm-hmm. If you'd asked me at this time last year what the predominant platform in my stable of clients, the stable of websites I'm responsible for, I'd have looked at you like, what? WordPress, obviously.
Yeah.
Honest truth, since the autumn, I've only worked on one WordPress site. I've worked on at least a dozen websites in that time, different sites. Only one of them was platformed on WordPress. The other ones, I've been in an e-com world recently, but I mean, WordPress has its own e-com extensions.
Right.
Sort of. But yeah. I hadn't thought about it until now, but it actually, I got this feeling WordPress is kind of on a receding, and then it just might be sort of like historic circumstances. We're in a lockdown, all the retail is locked down across the world, and retailers have to get stuff to market, and so Shopify and BigCommerce and Volusion and all the shopping engines, shopping platforms have done extremely well. Shopify, in fact, has done so well, it's one of the most profitable companies in Canada. And maybe that's why WordPress feels like it's receding right now, just because shopping cart platforms are blowing ahead so fast. What do you reckon? Do you get that feeling?
You know what? Actually, I'm actually looking at an article right now from Kinsta, who does some good. I mean, they're the site that I keep going to for my WordPress stats. And it's interesting because you hit the nail on the head on what's going on right now. If we look at all sites on the planet Earth right now, WordPress is still crushing it. Percentage of all websites, 40%. Percentage of CMS-driven websites, 64%.
There you go. Sure.
Crushing it. But when you go to e-commerce, WooCommerce, 14, Shopify, 21.
Sure. WooCommerce. I mean, like.
But what is more interesting is once you get to the top 10,000 websites, WooCommerce, 5, Shopify, still 21. So now all of a sudden, that's where the differentiation is. It's among companies that hire people like Jim Hedger, right? And you know, to make their sites. And those are the ones in Shopify. I know we've got a client who just moved two of his sites over from Woo over to Shopify just in the last 3-4 months. And you're right. It's in part, we hit this pandemic that gives not only extra time for developers to deal with crap, but it makes a lot more important the e-commerce side of things.
It's a freaking scale thing. I mean, it just, WooCommerce, if I think it starts crapping out past like 4,999 item point, the big houses that they're unending. It's one website. I'm not even sure how many pages it has. It's just unending. I know exactly how many pages they have, more or less, but I swear to you, it's unending.
Right.
And the neat thing is the platform is just stable enough to do that.
Right. And that's what's really important, right?
Well, kind of, especially if you get that terrible message at like 4 a.m. saying Europe is down. Europe's not down. The entire system's down. It's just manifesting in Europe.
Right.
Okay. On that, we got to take a break. We've gone over time for this part of the show. So on behalf of Dave Davies from BSOC Internet Marketing, Jim Hedger, Digital East Media, you're listening to Webcology on WMR.FM. It's the 8th of April, 2021. And we're back after these messages.
Are you looking for the best in WordPress speed, security, and scalability? WP Engine is a digital experience platform for WordPress, powering digital experiences for large brands around the world. With easy-to-use site management tools and powerful do-it-your-way development features, WP Engine gives you the flexibility to build it your way. Improve your SEO and conversion rates with a faster site on WP Engine. Learn more on WPEngine.com.
For maximum customer engagement and retention, choose CleverTap. CleverTap is a leading customer engagement and retention platform that helps digital brands maximize lifetime value. Over 8,000 apps around the world, including Vodafone, Star, and Sony, trust CleverTap to improve user engagement, boost retention, and fuel long-term revenue growth. Learn more at CleverTap.com. That's CleverTap.com.
Are you looking for the best in WordPress speed, security, and scalability? WP Engine is a digital experience platform for WordPress, powering digital experiences for large brands around the world. With easy-to-use site management tools and powerful do-it-your-way development features, WP Engine gives you the flexibility to build it your way. Improve your SEO and conversion rates with a faster site on WP Engine. Learn more on WPEngine.com.
Webcology takes you into the deepest and darkest ends of the ecosystem on the internet. Here are the hosts, Jim Hedger and Dave Davies.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Webcology on WMR.fm. Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media and Dave Davies from BeSock Internet Marketing, and it is the 8th of April, 2021. It's, God, I can't believe the year's a third over.
I know.
Like, it's just going so fast. Folks are we might be able to capture summertime again. If you get a chance, get vaccinated. COVID is still real. It's still out there. There's a third wave of it in some places, a fourth wave of it in another. And whichever wave you're in, it's being driven by new variants. One that was first spotted in the UK, another that was spotted in Brazil, and a third that apparently first came from Japan. And take them seriously, please. The sooner we can get past all of this, the sooner we can get our lives, our economy, and our society back. Get vaccinated as fast as you possibly can. Don't be afraid of it. It's the world's largest test case. Okay. So you don't have to do that at the end of the show now.
There we go.
Yeah. So there's been a... fight, I guess, is the nicest way to put it, happening in the SEO world. And it escalated again this week. Google versus Rand Fishkin, or Rand Fishkin versus Google, however you want to look at it, started about a month ago with Rand publishing a study from SparkToro suggesting that 60% or more of Google searches do not end up in a click. And Google's Danny Sullivan shooting back saying, that's just not true. Rand shooting back saying, yes, it is. Google shooting back saying, no, it's not. Well, round two has happened. And by the way, I was paraphrasing. It actually kind of got nasty. Round two is happening. Rand has released more data. Backing up his argument that 60% plus, actually 62% of all searches at Google do not generate a click. And he's published a whole new set of metrics to prove his point. Have you been following this, Dan?
Yeah, I've found it kind of fascinating to watch this sort of play out, and it places a very, very interesting burden of proof in a very interesting spot. Now, I've always, and there's problems with the logic behind this by itself, but I've always relied on, if you're going to argue a set of data, it is up to you to provide the counterpoints, right? So Rand Fishkin has come out and gone, this is accurate data. Mm-hmm. Like in Rand's view, this is the accurate data that we have. And then Google coming in going, no, but without actually countering with any data, like, but they can't give us the data. And of course their data would be far more accurate than Rand's. So while I have zero doubt that when they say no, that they are being accurate, what is very important is the degree of no that we're talking about. No can be 0.1% off, Like, so, you know, but no could also mean, okay, Rand's methodology, while fine from an outsider's standpoint, is not based on the world of data that is available, right? Like he's having to use outside systems. He's not using internal systems. So just like if I was trying to measure, and we've all seen these tools that measure the estimated website traffic of a site, right? Like just here's the traffic and the breakdown. SEMrush. Yes, I'm going to call it by its proper name. SEMrush has the tool built in. If you run it on your own site and then look at your analytics, it is wrong, right? Like it just, it's kind of okay, but it's wrong. It's more, you know, specific. So I'm sure his data is closer, but you know, that Rand is using. So yes, it will be fundamentally wrong, but how wrong, and Google will not, it can't actually come out and go, here's exactly the percentage of no clicks. Like they can't do that. So, and it would be, you know, sort of query specific, because you get into the, this never should have had a click to begin with. It was inconvenient for users to have to click.
Well, indeed. Indeed. And at the beginning of this whole thing, my first thought was, given the scale Google's working at, and the fact that of course there's a greater number of no click searches, given there's a greater number of searches. Like search is just growing and growing. More people are using search month after month after month. That has continued since the day Google opened shop. Mm-hmm. I wondered why this story mattered. And then Google argued back so vociferously.
Right.
And then Rand is countering. And again, when Google argued back, it got nasty. There was heated words exchanged. Camps set up in the SEO world, and heated words got exchanged between them. And now Rand is again saying, here's the data, here's how I arrived at this. Google, show me your homework. And Google hasn't responded yet, but I got a feeling it's not going to be pleasant.
No. And hopefully they can come in with some, you know, sort of range, but I would like to see it broken out a lot more into specifics, right? Like give me conversion, you know, product specific queries. What are they, right? And pulling those out. If I'm trying to figure out what the weather is, that's designed to be a no click query.
And won't that happen more frequently as people get used to being able to do that?
Well, I start my day setting a whole bunch of commands to a personal assistant, like my Google Home device. I start my day by going, set an alarm, set an alarm, set an alarm. I look at my calendar and go, okay, set all these alarms, right? Like, did I do that on day one? Did I do that 5 years ago? No, I didn't. But all of a sudden, I'm interacting with Google on a much more robust scale. Mm-hmm. Than I had previously. Now, I don't think that's not sort of being factored in here, and so that's fine, but Google understands my intents a lot more now. Google's not making me click through to read the weather. Now, we can rant about that as a totally different, how much it sucks to be a publisher and my problems with that and why I think Google should have to pay publishers, because we need publishers, right? For Google to rip off, scrape, and then hand me the weather, right? Like,
yep.
You know, we need, but we need that content creation to begin with for Google to present that to me.
And we know it's being tracked.
Yeah, exactly.
Two different ways, at least.
We can get into Flock now too, if we really want. But you know, what I think is missing from this is that context of going, okay, of these types of queries, because what we actually care about for queries that we're only doing for link building or just resource generation, like we're building it in guides on our travel site, really we're just there for branding and links, right? Like that's why we're building these guides out. When somebody searches vacation rental location XYZ, those are the queries we need the clicks for. So what does this data mean over in those types of queries? In buy intent queries, how does that data play out? In you know, basically short form information seeking queries, what would that, basically if Rank Brain comes into play, I shouldn't really care whether it has a click or not, because chances are it's short form. I'm totally simplifying here, by the way, and this is not what Rank Brain is for. But if Smith comes in, then all of a sudden it's probably something I should be getting a click for, because it needs longer form content than a featured snippet would provide.
So, which brings me to the real question that, and honest to goodness, I don't understand this. So, you know, you're much smarter than me, Dave. Please explain this to me. why is this a hill that Rand wants to fight Google on and a hill that Google wants to defend so badly?
Because right now on our show, we've said Rand Fishkin about 10 times and Spark Toro now twice, and we've done that a couple times.
Come on, Rand doesn't got to goof with Google to get us to say his name, though.
No, I mean, he could come out with something great, but when you put out something like that, and it's not, don't get me wrong, Rand has constantly gotten under Google's skin and in some very creative and very accurate and very important ways. Right? Like I was there when he went, okay, everybody click through to this result, and watching that result move up in local for a restaurant. Right? Like, don't tell me it doesn't. We all just made it happen in a room full of like 1,000 people. He manufactured that and we watched it happen. So he does this in very specific ways, but do I think that in part he would be doing this as a repeat and going, I'm going to evergreen this, in part because it's getting some great traction and awareness? Sure. He's a marketer. Would I do the same? Yes. That's not a judgment. I'm going, that's good marketing. So yes, absolutely he is. This is important data, but we don't have the access to a completely different type of information from Google because it's no click. That doesn't impact business at all. If all of a sudden I'm going, set an alarm for, if those are being qualified as queries in this context, and they're not, but you can see how to weather app, right? Like, but now I know in a no click query, I can get that. Whereas before I needed an app from a different system.
No, so, although that app from the different system might have delivered an advertisement that paid for the system.
And now we're circling back to, yes, I do think Google should have to pay for this no-click query source. But that gets into a different discussion.
And is that why Google is going to defend this hill so vociferously?
And in that context, they should. And that's the context they should be presenting. Going, we're not stealing your clicks when somebody wants to buy blue widgets. What we're doing is we're getting in front of a new type of person, which I think is the majority. Not all. But the majority of what's going on.
See, the thing, like, there's something called the Streisand effect, where if you try to sort of hush something up or try to bully your way out of a problem on the web, it only amplifies the issue, you know, and it gets more people to look at it. And I think that's what Google did with this here. I think had Rand said what he had said back in December or January, and Google not bothered responding, it would have just sort of gone where most news goes, right?
Yeah. It's very telling to this story, and it is part of their data, though, is paid click-through rate was higher. Now, we can get out of, like, why is that? And there's a bunch of factors in there, but people are clicking when they want to buy things, right? Like, that's what that boils down to, is the market. So organic is down 10%. What click type, and that's CTR, not overall clicks. Traffic is still up because market share is up, but or I guess search volume is up more than the click through rate is down. But it tells me that it's just the type of query, and I think just there's 10% more queries are coming into Google from people who are going, oh, I can just look this up and get an answer without actually having to engage with a website. I don't think they're taking traffic that didn't exist or that would. Initially, they did. When all of a sudden featured snippets started going out, they were taking traffic that was getting clicks. But that's kind of done now, right? It's like sort of, I'm picturing Black Knight from Monty Python, right? Like, the arms and legs are off. Like, that one's gone now. We're just having to sort of limp along with what's going on now. But none of that. If you're in e-commerce, that didn't really impact you tremendously anyway. If what you're trying to do is sell, click-through rates are up. So.
Okay. Anyway, I don't know. Why can't we all just get along?
Indeed.
Okay. So there's been a increase of people complaining that Google has gotten into places it shouldn't get into. People's staging sites are appearing in Google search results more frequently. This is actually happening. Like, it's not like webmasters have gotten COVID foggy brain and forgotten to shut down their staging servers. I think Google's crawlers are powerful enough to weave their way in, fill in forms, get through robot text files, or ignore robot text files entirely, the bastards. Is that my imagination or what? I think they're ignoring them.
Yeah, they are. I think that is their quest to go, yes, we won't add it to our index, but we're getting through. Like, yeah. We're going to see what's there.
Kilroy was here.
Yeah.
Exactly. Serious, that's what it is. Okay, so if your staging server is sending results to Google, you got a problem. Because that's not complete work. That can't be showing up in the search results. It's not finished work yet.
Right.
So Google's advice is to use full username and password authentication as a wall between your staging server and the web, which is what you should have been doing in the first place anyway.
Yeah. And that's what I host with WP Engine, and I have a bunch of clients over there as well. So a little plug, I guess, for WP Engine here. But it's one of the things that their staging server just does that. That's just the way it sets up. It goes, we're going to make a username and password, and now you need to enter that when you want to get in there. I fully support this. I've had this problem with clients who host, and you can put the no index on there, and oftentimes a client will forget, but you can put it on there, and they'll still get their way through sometimes.
Well, here's the thing. Do not trust robot text files to be obeyed by the engine. If you want to direct the engine to not index a page but to follow through all the links, or to not follow links but to index the content, you got to do that in the head section with straight up directives. You can't rely on robot text blocking a spider anymore. You used to be able to, but they don't care anymore. They simply don't care.
No, and here's one of the things that I absolutely love. As somebody who's seen screw-ups more times than I can probably count at this point, I'm sure you have too, and probably many of our listeners.
Oh, I made them.
When you put that username and password on your staging site, if you happen to accidentally deploy that live, you're going to know it inside of about 3 seconds, because you're going to visit your site, and you're going to be asked for a username and password. If you forget the robots file, or you forget the no index on your site, you might forget that until you call your SEO and go, why is our site crashing in the rankings? And your SEO goes in there and goes, ugh. Okay. Mm-hmm. You need to not push things live without telling me. Can you tell who this has happened to? So it just also helps avoid accidents. You can't not notice that when you push your site live, that you're all of a sudden being asked for a username and password.
If you got a problem with that, just go check over at Yahoo Answers. Okay, we got to take a break. We are the quarter to the top of the hour at the time of recording. So, on behalf of Dave Davies from BSOC Internet Marketing, this is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media. You are listening to Webcology on WMR.FM on the 8th of April, 2021. Stick around. We've got more coming up after these messages.
Here's the truth you need to know about podcasting. The biggest problem you face right now as a future podcaster is the myth that it takes an enormous amount of time or effort to produce a high-quality professional podcast. Luckily for you, there's a solution to your problem. If you're an online marketer who really needs to grow an audience of buyers but can't do all the heavy lifting alone, then here's the solution you're looking for. Introducing the DFY Podcasting System. Here's what you get. 30 minutes of one-on-one training. A weekly podcast for you or your company. Distribution to almost every podcast portal. An embeddable player for your website. And an ebook called How to Podcast, created for WMR.FM show hosts. And much, much more. And best of all, you'll start seeing results with the DFY podcast system within a couple of weeks. You're just one podcast away from growing brand awareness and engagement in your business. Log on to podcast.wmr.fm and sign up for a deeply discounted rate today. That's podcast.wmr.fm.
Do you look at the task of ranking your site at the top of the search engines like you would climbing the top of Mount Everest? It doesn't have to be. TopSEOs.com knows how hard that climb can be, and they can make top ranking a reality. Top SEOs send you to only the right search vendors and agencies that they know will work for you. Since 2002, TopSEOs.com has reviewed and researched the best search engine marketing agencies and solutions providers. Don't risk the cost of falling off the proverbial peak of search rankings. Let Top SEOs give you peace of mind. TopSEOs.com, the independent authority on search vendors.
Webcology takes you into the deepest and darkest ends of the ecosystem on the internet. Here are the hosts, Jim Hedger and Dave Davies.
Dave, everyone, welcome back to Webcology on WMR.FM. We are rounding out the hour. This is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media and Dave Davies from Beatstock Internet Marketing. And I'm going to go again with the tagline, the good Google giveth and the good Google taketh away. And this is like a more of a Google local thing. Google is going to give more ways that local search results can be surfaced using the the people also search for feature.
Mm-hmm.
You enter a query that would trigger a local search result, and Google's got inventory that can fill in there, some map inventory or whatever. Google will Google My Business, they'll publish it in the people also search for area, just below the search results, and likely get you a click faster than blue links would.
Yeah, and here's what I find interesting about this one. And this goes back to our last story before we went to break. Now, I haven't been able to replicate it, so I'm only basing my assumption on what I have seen in the results, is that you are getting these sort of map results with the business name there. Mm-hmm. And one of the searches that the original tweet poster, Valentin Pletzer, had posted out is Win Home Inspection, right? Like the name is Win, not to win something, but Win. If I click that, I'm imagining, because I've seen tiles like that, that I would then be taken to the map that would then have the business information in the map. Now, if I call that number, it's going to be a no click, even though I click to find the information on that business.
Very
but
possibly.
I accomplished what I wanted, and so did the business. Right? And that's where Jason Bernard would be a great person to have on to talk about exactly this, because he's constantly talked about Google My Business and your search result is your website. Right? Like, I mean, you know, he understands website. Like, he's not, like that. But, to now treat this aspect of things as your site and go, okay, when somebody clicks that, that actually is a click. So maybe what Rand should also be looking at is pulling in this data, because you can get it, of how often did my business appear in a map? How often was it clicked on in the map? How often was it called? How often was it? If we pull all of that data in and go, okay, we're actually going to add that to click data. We're going to treat an interaction with my map listing and with my business listing on Google. We're going to treat that as an engagement, as equal to a click. In some ways, I would say more valuable than a click, because I'm an SEO. You know what I don't make business off? Somebody filling a form. You know what I do make business off? Somebody calling me up. because you're going to engage better. I mean, yes, you can with forms, but we all know, like a call, if you're selling real estate, for example, you're going to do better on the phone than you're going to do, when somebody fills out a form and goes, here's the house that I'm kind of interested in. And they've done that on 100 different websites, right? Like, you're going to be better on the call. So I'd be interested in seeing Rand's same study going, okay, now pull this data in, right? And this, I literally thought of that when seeing that, went, oh yeah, right. There's this aspect of things too. That's incredibly strong. And I report it in Data Studio as this is a conversion. I've done this.
Well, you remember we had Alan on last week saying exactly this. It's not about who you get or how many you get coming to your site anymore. It's about who you get coming to your site and what you can track them doing when they're there. Did they make that conversion? Right. And in the cases that we're talking about now, the conversion is in fact made on the search engine result page,
right?
Because in the example you used, that's all about lead gen.
Well, and I've often, my full conversion has happened. I'm looking, happened to me last time I was traveling. Now this isn't a big travel, you know, it was when, you know, I was just off in Whistler, right? Like, which we're not allowed to travel to now, but we were at the time. You know, on my way back, I was looking for a gas station. So I went to Google, I entered it in and went, where's the nearest gas station on my way back? And I went directions. That was a full engagement. They absolutely fully converted. I found them, had discovery, and got my directions there, but it never would have shown up. It would have been a no-click query. A full conversion cycle, even better than a conversion that required me to call because I didn't even need to call. I just went, gave them my money, and they never needed to, you know, even see me ever again.
You know, both you and that gas station were quite lucky, because had you been in America and had to do that, you may well have been directed to Independence, Kansas. A wonk in Google My Business on American.
That's a brilliant segue, by the way.
And I appreciate it. Thank you so much. I don't even know if you knew you were making it. A wonk in Google My Business in the United States last week put a bunch of Google's businesses in Google My Business in the middle of the United States, the exact middle of the United States, Independence, Kansas. And for a short time, Independence, Kansas had what had to be the largest downtown in human history. At least on paper.
Yeah, that's sort of funny that I mean, and we can't blame them, right? Like, these are the sort of little bugs that got sorted out. But for a short period of time, it would have caused a lot of problems for people, because there was probably somebody getting directions at the time that bug hit.
I don't think we got enough gas to get there, Mildred.
It's like, stay on this road for 300 miles.
Okay. That would have been that's mildly annoying. If you are one of 533 million Facebook users whose data was stolen quite a while ago, actually between June 2017 and April 2018, you might have forgotten that all your data was stolen. And you might be excused for forgetting your data was stolen, because nobody was doing nothing with it until, well, last week, when they ended up on a craptastic hacking forum on April the 3rd. And now the data from 533 million Facebook users, which I think is about, I don't know, a fifth of them, a fifth of all Facebook users, the day that their account was created, their date of birth, their email address, their Facebook ID, Facebook bio, full name, location, marriage details, phone number, past location, and relationship data. If you can, you know, carp together an identity from that kind of information, you might want the information of 533 million Facebook users, because it's out there, including Mark Zuckerberg's.
Great. yeah, I mean, Lawrence, yeah, this is why we change our passwords frequently.
Indeed. So this there's places you can go to check on this. Go to Google and type in Facebook hack checker. The data was stolen from 106 countries, 32 million records belonging to Facebook users in the United States, 11 million records from the UK, and millions more across Europe. Lot of information out there. Identity theft is a real thing. Protect yourself. See if you've been hacked or not. One more. I think we have time for one more. Where do you want to go?
Well, we can go to a statement of the obvious, but I think it can lead to a discussion on bigger things, like on more important things. And it actually was just after our show last week. Well, the day after our show last week, Google announced we can recognize and understand pagination through internal links. You know, yes, of course they can, because at the bottom of a blog post, for example, like on your blog, like here's your 10, and then you hit the bottom and then you click next, and then there's a link and it takes you to /2, right? Or page 2 or whatever it might be in the URL structure. It's a fairly typical URL structure, right? Like the system has seen this structure many, many, many times. But I think what's more important than saying Google can understand pagination, because that actually is not always true. Sometimes they can't, because I'm actually dealing with a site that does not have pagination set up to actually be understood. The way their clicks are not set up with an href, right? So it all falls apart then. So Google doesn't understand it, but that's not
Google's
fault. Google,
we got you right where we want you.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, okay, we're just purposely hiding about 80% of our content. But what I think this leads to is more important than just do they understand pagination? Because at the end of the day, who really cares if they understand pagination, right? Like if they understand that pagination is pagination, what they need to understand is here's our main blog post. There is one link to pass page rank over to here. This page now has X weight. It will then cascade that weight down the page. I mean, I'm oversimplifying page rank passing, but we all, you know, I think all of our listening audiences heard me ramble on enough about page rank. But, I mean, it doesn't need to know that this is page 2. Understanding that might help it get a bit of context to go, okay, maybe it needs to have a little more weight than a standard link would come from the bottom of a page, because it just means that it's, you know, 2 weeks old. It doesn't mean it's irrelevant content, right? And or maybe as weak as it is. But so understanding pagination is a bit helpful, but actually understanding how your entire link weight passing through your site functions is, I think, a little more important than just understanding that Google understands pagination. Google understands context of links. It goes much broader than just pagination.
Well, I mean, if you think about all the different links that would be universal on a website that like will lead to page A, B, C, D, E, F, and all the way down to Z, or 1, 2, 3 or whatever. Right. Mm-hmm. You got like top level nav, you got footer links, you have links within the piece itself that may join it together. You have incoming links that might be linking to the piece. There's a bunch of different ways for Google to get its way through a website. I'm not sure why they're making a big deal of this, why they even had to make the announcement. What's it doesn't hurt to have a paginated link at the bottom. Is it going to kill your website? Is it going to hurt Google?
Yeah, I think this was just a standard question. It's funny because I haven't had a chance to actually watch the Office Hours that it was based on. But it seems to be a question when they announced that they had stopped support for the Relprieve Next, right? Like that.
Idea
that do they understand pagination still? I don't think Google would have pulled that out if they didn't think they had a strong handle on pagination, right? They
would have gone, and also, it's not like that. This is a tough one.
Yeah. Well, exactly. It's one of the most obvious things to recognize. You know, it'd be like Google saying, we understand what footer links are. Yes, of course you do, right? By their placement and function, you understand what they are. So I think this is a pretty obvious one, but it does bring up the discussion of it's important not just to understand the context of a link technically, but it's important to understand the context structurally and the importance of that structure as it passes through. Because with the Prev Next, we were relying on a technical solution. Now we don't have that technical solution, and in my opinion, that's better, because in the example with the client who link didn't pass across, we were able to very, very quickly figure that out. If they were still indexing page 2, page 3, page 4 because of this Prev Next without passing any page rank, it would have actually caused me more headaches to try and troubleshoot. We would have figured it out because we're in this glut of pages that should rank that don't. But it would have taken longer. It was much easier to find pages that just aren't even being crawled or indexed than it is to find something that's in the index but fundamentally orphaned, or functionally orphaned. So anyway, that's just my two bits on that one. I know we're rounding out the hour here, so I won't drone on further.
We have actually rounded out the hour here, more precise, because it's top of the clock. So yeah, we've got another full clock. Friends, you have been listening to Webcology on webmasterradio.fm. On behalf of Dave Davies and Beanstalk Internet Marketing, this is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media. Glad that he did the COVID talk earlier in the show, because it's always such a bummer to leave on that one. But please wash your hands, wear a mask, stay 6 feet away from people, and help us all get our society and economy back by getting vaccinated as soon as possible. Be safe, be well, be kind to each other, and friends, we will talk to you next week.
The opinions expressed in this WMR.FM program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of WMR.FM. Any broadcast, republication, or retransmission of this program without proper consent is prohibited.
Pioneers of podcasting, staying at the forefront of digital marketing, business, and entrepreneurship, WMR.FM enters the 2020s leading the way, expanding our spectrum of shows set to educate, entertain, and engage. We are the WMR.FM podcast.